Hello, everyone. Happy afternoon. It is Wednesday afternoon here in New York. We are joined by some amazing guests today for the Event Hustler Show. It's been a while since I have had the opportunity to do an Event Hustler Show podcast. We did Taxi Talk Global just about 2 weeks ago, and that was super fun. And we gave you probably more content than anyone can handle, but we have to be back. I love to just continue the conversation and talk with very interesting people all throughout the industry. You guys know that this is what I do on a regular basis. So if you haven't caught the Event Hustler Show before, it's casual conversations. It's me kind of catching up with industry greats, learning from them, and letting you have the opportunity to learn as well. I see we have lots of people joining us on various platforms. We are streaming right now on Facebook and on YouTube. We are on several different Facebook pages, and you may even be catching this after it has broadcast live on our audio. We are on SoundCloud, iTunes, all those fun places. If you're watching us live, please do use the comments. Let us know where you are watching from. We would love to have you ask your questions and share your comments. This is an opportunity for all of us to learn. So today we are talking about augmented reality, AR. It's one of those things that I think is a really fun topic, but it's also very strategic. And I think as we have moved into virtual events, we'll be moving into hybrid events. AR gives us some really unique opportunities. We've seen it in the events industry for quite a while, but now we get to kind of take it to the next level. So we are here with two great leaders from Nextech AR Solutions. You guys may have seen them at Taxi Talk Global. They are an experience platform with AR capabilities and have some really cool things for all of us. Again, whether you're virtual or hybrid, one of the really interesting things, I'm going to ask them about some new partners that they have that they're working with that do some very interesting things, I think, for the virtual and hybrid space. And we're going to just talk about what AR is, how it's going to help us be successful, what applications it has, tons of stuff. So Paul Duffy, he is the co-founder and president of Nextech AR. Welcome back. Nice to have you here.
Always a pleasure, Liz. Great to see you again.
And we also have Vivian Chan. She is the chief channel officer at Nextech AR. Paul and I had a discussion at Taxi Talk Global, and I see you guys have some fans here. NextCF Discord says they love you, Paul and Vivian. My husband is a big Discord fan, so I'm excited to hear this. And Gloriella says, here from Atlanta, Georgia, go Paul and Vivian. So we're really excited for this conversation. There are so many different ways that we can take this, but I do want to mention before we dive into the conversation that we did tease at Taxi Talk Global that you guys would be giving away a hologram experience. And so for those of you who are tuning in to hear about that, stay tuned. We will address that towards the end because that's how we like to drag it out and get you super, super excited. Paul and I were talking last week about this idea of making me into hologram. And I was saying, what would we even do? So if you have some cool ideas of what you would like to see, if I popped up, that would be put it in the comments because I have no idea. But I think these super holograms, AR, super, super cool. So let's just start there. I've done my intro. Paul, I did ask you at Taxi Talk Global, but for the larger audience that we have today, let's just talk about AR. What is it? And then can you tell us a little bit about your virtual experience platform and what that means for the events industry?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So, very, very top level, augmented reality is essentially the ability, much like it says, augmented reality, to take photorealistic, volumetric 3D experiences and, effectively put them into your field of view. So, what that means is in today's language, if you take your mobile phone and you view through the camera or an app, you can superimpose into your field of view, into your space, a photorealistic 3D hologram of a person, a product, an activity, etc. And this kind of from a storytelling and a communication point of view sort of opens the aperture up significantly. And in the world today, where everything, much like we are now, is very video forward, right? We're in these 2D, constant Zoom team type sessions, having the opportunity to essentially immerse into your field of view an augmented reality experience creates a phenomenal canvas for these wow moments. We refer to it as a moment factory, where we're able to literally pull down a booth, a person, a product, and not just have them exist within your field of view, within your location, but you can pinch and zoom and rotate. You can double click through them. You can do all the things you would expect to do naturally when that hologram is sort of conjured and in front of you. And so, you know, as we work with groups, you know, it's all about how do we literally wow your audience, get them up out of the seat, let them enjoy a room scale. So fill my room like behind me with this entire holographic experience and let me walk through it by simply looking at my phone. Because your phone is by far the most ubiquitous product that's out there for you to use, right?
Yeah.
And soon, you know, when I say soon, I'm thinking 12, 24, probably no more than 36 months away, lightweight wearable eyewear will become the surrogate or replacement for what is today the mobile phone. In fact, many people think that the eyewear will be powered by the phone, not unlike your watch, for instance, and you'll control the interface, but spatially within your environment, you'll be walking through with eyewear that just makes it all that much easier to experience, a little more natural from that perspective. So our VXP, our virtual experience platform, has been designed specifically from the ground up to take advantage of those forthcoming experiences and technologies. And, you know, that's kind of at the heart of if you would, Nextech, in our sort of global vision of, you know, democratizing augmented reality for the masses. And so we're just having a blast doing it. And for event planners, designers, you know, as you're thinking through what's possible there, all of a sudden you've got not a 2D experience, but a full volumetric 3D that's room scale. And, you know, final thing I'll say there, Liz, is as the world begins to rotate back to this notion of virtual and in-person events, this idea of AR is only actually going to get stronger. Because of the way the activations work, you trigger them through your phone, it will be very similar to the way we shop. We go into a store, like a booth, we actually whip out our phone, we check out what's there, we look at it on our phone, even though it's right beside us, and interactions ensue. And so we just see the world of hybrid becoming more and more immersive, if you can believe it, between this marriage of AR, virtual, and in-person events. And we're just kind of right at the middle of it, and we're just enjoying it.
I bet you are. Vivian and I were talking about hybrid before we came on, and I think there's some really interesting conversations there. I do have a question from Cameron from the audience. And, you know, we talked at Tech Talk Global a little bit about how Google Glass existed and then it kind of went away and everyone considered it a failure. One of his questions is, what will be the game changer you think that makes that concept succeed? Obviously, it doesn't have to be Google with their concept, but what do you think happened when they came out a few years ago? And what do you think is different here in 2021 as we look into the future?
Yeah, so great question. And so think about it this way. The formative planks that would go underneath the ability to create a room scale style experience that you can wear on your eyewear. 5 years ago, we didn't have 5G. We didn't have intelligence like we see now with narrow and to a certain degree general AI, right? And what's possible there for machine learning, et cetera, computer visioning. We didn't have the processing power that was available on the phones today, right? And we didn't have the creation tools that would make it economically viable to build these types of experiences at scale. You could do one or two, but you couldn't do 1,000 or 2,000 without destroying the budget, right? You just, the cost benefit wasn't there. And so you've got this fabric, if you would, of technologies that have woven themselves together to let everybody stand up on and say, okay, this turn of the wheel, all the formative planks are there for us to begin walking confidently down this road. If you think about it, and it does make sense that Google with Android, Apple with iOS, are, you know, probably in position A to bring these technologies out into the market as a consumer or corporate deliverable. Mm-hmm. But it's companies like Nextech working with groups like your audience who will unleash the value of it in these types of experiences. And so we get very excited about this because we get all sorts of people in that ecosystem talking about it because they know the day is coming, right? We're not far off from when we'll begin to experience that. The final thing I'll say there is because those technologies have woven or come together, the experience for the user at the end of the day, which ultimately is all that really matters, is significantly different than Google Glass. Google Glass was a wonderful glimpse into the future for its time. It was a single piece of glass, literally, well, I think it was actually plexi, that you would view through. You would see a little bit of update coming from Android, and it would display to you geographically or geocentric some relevant information, mapping, etc. But what I'm referring to here, what you'll see in the next turn of the wheel, is that these will be room scale experiences. So, you know, they will have sensors that will determine and smartly understand where to place objects. They will be anchored in space and volumetric. So as you walk around them, you'll see behind them. You'll actually walk behind as opposed to it turning with you. As you move around, the objects will stay stationary. And so the experience of that, in contrast to what you would see with Google Glass, is fundamentally different. You know what I mean? They're speaking the same language, but the experiential, completely different. And that's what's going to turn the tide. It will be like all remarkable technologies that take a rapid adoption. People will wonder how they lived with it before it happened. I mean, you can think fax machine or email messaging, right? Yeah. I mean, you're kind of like, I can't even imagine before that. You'll be the same with AR. It will just so naturally fit like a glove into the day-to-day happenstance of your life that you won't realize within a period of 5 years that it has become omnipresent. You know what I mean? And that's why we think, I absolutely believe, it will be the next form of mass communication. You know what I mean? It's just so pervasive in what's possible. And from that will be a basket of new opportunities that we can't even conceive today. And so, yeah, I think the next 3 to 5 years, Liz, are going to be significant for the event industry. Just significant.
And Liz, I was just going to say, it's easy. It's already easy now because we've got 5G, because we've got these high powered phones. You know, augmented reality isn't that hard. You know, you're able to shoot a human hologram in minutes. You don't need a mass production facility to do that. You can do that from your phone. Also, the usage of AR is as simple as taking a photo of a QR code. And so that friction around complexity is completely removed. It's much easier. It's a delightful experience. Yeah.
And, you know, we have that added piece, which is that COVID has made everything virtual has, you know, totally leaped forward. People are much more comfortable with technology that maybe had scared them before, or they just didn't want to do it. I mean, I know so many people in March were learning Zoom for the first time. I was thinking, haven't we been using this for years? But there's so many people who just weren't. And now that whole experience then accelerates everyone's expectations. Vivian, I wanted to ask you, we'll start with you at least, in terms of these AR experiences at events, what are some, can you give us some practical examples of fun things that people are doing? And again, not just fun, but also strategic. We want to make sure that it's not just kind of like an add-on.
Augmented reality allows us to dream again. And we've seen it be used in so many creative ways. We've seen augmented reality holograms where the CEO will invite people to the event before the event as a hologram. You beam the hologram in, it's part of the invitation. And right off the bat, you have this impression, this is not your typical Zoom or webcast event. There's something different that's gonna happen here. You set the stage that something magical is happening. It allows you to dream about products. We're able to work with vendors to sell very complicated battery chargers, medical equipment, from laptops to medical equipment, that whole spectrum, you're again able to imagine. Since we're not able to be so accessible at the store, you know, you're able to kind of do that from the comforts of your own home or your office. And so, again, it allows us to dream again. And then we worked with a partner, actually, ARB Events. We learned so much from them. They're phenomenal event planners. They did a medical association event a couple months ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. And because no one could meet in person, they did a around the world tour with our Portals products. So you walk through a door and you enter a place-based experience in 360. So you're at the beach, you're at the Washington Monuments, you know, you're able to kind of be there, and it's able to kind of create these very sentimental moments around, you know, we wish we could be there, but we're going to now experience this, you know, shared moment together through augmented reality.
Yeah, it's so interesting how it pulls people together. You know, AR and VR, in my opinion, and, you know, again, we talked a little bit about this, they were things that people, they were kind of like fancy add-ons. But the truth is, you know, when you're together at an in-person experience, you don't necessarily want to think about being somewhere else. But now that we're all somewhere else, you want to think about how can we be together and what would this look like if, you know, I've been thinking it would be so cool if you could, you know, have an experience that showed you with a lot of other people. Like, it's not even just that you're in a different room, but what if you were back with the other people who were there? You know, there's just that piece, I think, too. And I think it's gone from being something that's just a cool concept to, at least in the future, near future, I think it will be a business necessity to some extent. Paul, would you agree with that? What are your thoughts?
100%. I mean, to Viv's earlier point about, you know, the strategic enablement, if you would, of AR, and this is where I think you'll see this rotation and adoption happening quickly. And, you know, for good or bad, it's accelerated by a COVID.
Yeah.
The first is that people have become very comfortable QR coding, you know, literally tagging and triggering, right? Whether it's a menu in a restaurant or otherwise. And, you know, sounds small, but that little consumer adoption is important. And then what happens is, you know, we've clients who literally will beam a 40-foot tractor trailer for oil separation into a room, and they'll pinch and zoom and they'll put it down. And then they will begin either via Zoom or even in a booth in our platform selling that product or service in a way that they could never have done. And what occurs there is the feedback and the learning that happens basically ensure that that experience will not go away. From sort of this moment forward, you will now always be able to beam something like a 40-foot tractor trailer, a blender, a medical device, even a policy or procedure that you're trying to communicate to people in a format that you would otherwise never be able to do, certainly not at a level of cost effectiveness that you're able to do through augmented reality. And so, Liz, to your point, once people recognize the return on that spend and the net benefit to them from a value point of view, I think you've got AR here to stay permanently. I mean, that is literally one of the outcomes that will occur over the next several quarters as the world goes back from COVID. And that for us is very significant because our whole business is thesis on augmented reality.
Sure. Right?
But the traits are simple. If you've got a fairly complex product that you want to be able to visualize, communicate, sell, introduce, etc., AR is by far the most cost-effective way to do it. It's the most immersive. It's the most viral. You know what I mean? And frankly, worst case, you click a button, a person will beam in as a hologram and talk to you. You know, I mean, where else can you get that?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So you've mentioned, go ahead. Sorry, Vivian.
And I was going to say, it's a game changer for hybrid as well. Can you imagine if you've got this like 40-ton tractor trailer that you can't get into the convention center because it's too heavy because you're charged by weight and you have to do all that rigging to like make it look amazing.
Right.
Well, you could beam that in using augmented reality. And so it's got a lot of hybrid in-person applications as well. So think about the fact that people that are online and the people that are in person having the same moment. Being able to experience that, you know, 50-ton, 40-ton machine is possible now.
Yeah, that's so crazy. You guys have mentioned a few times the booth idea that you at a trade show, whether that's, again, in person or virtual. I think in the virtual space, I think a lot of event planners are having that stress of we are not delivering ROI for our sponsors. Like it's one thing to do it in an in-person, we're used to, you're going to buy a 10 by 10, you're going to get X number of attendees, they're going to do X. And, you know, the data is really not that great in person. So I think, you know, I honestly believe we've been able to skate by with some pretty not so great metrics. In the virtual space, these companies are looking at the numbers and they see everything. And so what are some unique things that you think AR does for sponsors and this trade show booth experience? Where does AR give us some like a leg up in that area?
Well, you know, I'll go first and then Viv can go because, you know, we eat, sleep and breathe this every day, right? And you can think about it, a corollary, if you would, or an analog would be your return on ad spend. So in the digital world, you know, you've got banners, programmatic ads, targeted media spends, right? And you're getting very, very specific analytics coming out of that. So our VXPR, virtual experience platform, does the exact same thing. You get all of that metric. The delighter here is that you're now also able to trigger an experience, bring it into the room, and now open the aperture up much broader around what's also available to track and measure. Again, this needs to be, you know, something that is thought through. It's not like you want to be tracking everything you're doing, because right. a lot of that could be meaningless. But ultimately, what we find is that there's a much, much higher level of engagement and immersion in an AR experience. And you can measure it quite easily. The first is that the dwell time that that individual attendee spends in that experience, be it a booth, be it a portal, be it a product, it isn't measured by 2, 3, 4 seconds of them looking at a picture. It's measured by minutes, literally, as to how much time they spent in there, and then what they did in the experience, and what items they pulled out of the experience and stored on their computer or on their phone. All that rich data rolls itself up to an impression and a version of what the insights from that data can tell us. And when you look at it from an attendee point of view, and it's a few hundred to a few thousand to tens of thousands, that data becomes incredibly meaningful. And that's what the folks that we do shows with, that's what they're looking for. Their sponsors want to see that. Their booth, you know, folks want to see that. The owners of the shows want to see that, right? Because it's hard empirical proof as to how attendees are actually consuming content and services within the context of the event. Yeah. Hope that didn't sound too fluffy.
So,
Vivian, you know, over to you.
It's so interesting. I've been talking to event planners, and in the previous world, you would have to download 17 different CSV files and then like combine them and then upload them into the CRM. We give you one report. And that report actually has a grade on the level of touch points that that individual has done. So if Sarah has gone to the keynote, watched it from end to end, attended 5 breakouts, and then went to the exhibitor booth and, you know, downloaded some information, chatted with a few folks, she'll have a higher engagement score than someone that just comes in for 5 minutes, drops out, and never comes back again. And so I think that is a huge value add for sponsors and exhibitors and vendors, because now they've got sort of this really beautiful, clean information to help them figure out who really is interested and what are they interested in. Were they interested in the innovation tracks, or were they interested in iron ore mining, as an example? And so you can be much more relevant when you're going back to clients, because you get a sense of what people care about. So those are really important things.
Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot about data in the events industry. I think event planners tend to fall into two buckets. They're either a little geeky like me. They love it. They want to see it all. They want to. And then there's the other side that I think is just very scared. It's overwhelming. It's a lot of information. And I see this whole virtual data space similar to like social media in 2009, where you could just say we had 5 million impressions and nobody cared. And people weren't really that thoughtful about, well, what does that mean? You know, everything was just, wow, you had this many seconds of people looking. You know, it's like, I think rapidly, because we already went through that kind of issue, rapidly people are going to say, well, it's not so cool for me to find out 5,000 data points about what I got as a sponsor, as a return. They're going to want to see more simplified metrics, like what you're talking about. And I think planners would very much prefer this too. Like, here's some hard engagement data. Here's a good sense of what we can do with all of this. How do we make all of this actionable, I think, is a huge piece for the entire events industry.
And one thing about Nextech that I think we work very hard on is that we're rooted in working with events folks. We've got some of the world's best event experts on our team that are guiding us on helping map the value of what event planners want with what technology can provide. Certainly, it's not a one-to-one map, right, from physical to virtual. But what you can do, understanding what the extra is something that we're working to try to do a better job to educate folks on, because there's a lot of extra that you get. It's not a reduction per se. You know, you're not going to be able to do badges, for instance, right? But you're going to have incredible data, and you're going to be able to tell a different story than you were before. So
I think
what we find, Liz, sorry, is that, you know, oftentimes, at least when I get, when they say, hey, Duffy, can you talk to this guy? I'm usually speaking to somebody, you know, who either owns the event themselves, there's a fair bit of money on the table, right? Or they're the significant sponsor who are influencing the portion of the event, or a significant portion of it. And the discussions always begin as follows. You know, I just say to them, you know, what's the net benefit to you? What are you looking to achieve? And, you know, we can dance around it and use all sorts of terms and topics, but ultimately, everybody is looking for, will this particular event drive to me a market qualified lead who has come in, identified what they'd like, and you can give them to me in a list so that my group can then go and work with them, you know, effectively drive opportunity. And that is a fairly significant request, because in the virtual world, you can do all of that now, right? We have a complete pathway to profitability that we sit and speak to those types of owners or stakeholders with. And it's a lens through which they determine their investment, their spend, and their desired outcome. And so that's very, very critical. And it's very different, by the way, than the physical, because a lot of that hard data is, you know, really anecdotal, right? And you know, it's not that it's not there. It's just very hard to track and very hard to put into an empirical form. And so we're seeing that more and more. And that's why I do think this idea of the hybrid, you're going to carry an awful lot of that data story over into the physical world. There'll be different tools, different techniques to do it, but it's all there to be had. And that's one of the outcomes we're seeing, almost like a generative extension of the virtual. You know, how will the new physical look, and how will my return on that investment be communicated to me?
You know, and I'll share something I think is in the events industry, you know, it's one of those things I think no one really wants to talk about, but it exists, which is, I think a lot of event planners have a fear right now that in person, they were, as I said, the data wasn't that great. So they were able to easily convince their sponsors that they were making an amazing, they were doing amazing work for them. And I think, you know, part of it was that's a little bit easier, right? Because they feel good walking away. Your sponsor comes and gets enough smiles standing at their table. They feel like that was a great event. And the data is really not there. And so I think there are two problems. One is that, you know, when we go to virtual, there's suddenly all this data and everyone is trying to figure out what do we make of it. But I think the other problem is that we have a really big lag in our audience. Like what your audience might have done in person, you might not get as many people. You might have more people, but less engagement. So as an event planner, you're constantly trying to figure out like, how do we still provide this benefit to our sponsors? This is another place where I would imagine augmented reality comes in, because you're competing against, you know, 5 billion other Zoom meetings or 5 billion other platforms. So, you know, how do we get people's attention is going to be a huge question in 2021 in the events industry. And it's there's the business practicality. And I think there is still that cool factor that makes it a little bit more unique. I mean, I'm sure you guys see this all the time, that as you said, these are the things that will go viral. These are the things that get your attention and make people realize, Vivian, like the example you shared, this is not my average, you know, virtual event. This is going to be critical, right?
And at the heart of it, at the heart of what event planners do is create stories, create moments. And I think in talking to some of the top planners, they all always say that the content creation is incredibly important. And if you think about it, augmented reality is just a storytelling tool that enables them to tell that story, to tell that content, so that when someone leaves that experience, they say, you know what, I have a better understanding of, you know, what the top, you know, tools are now for dig well drilling. Sorry, I'm talking a lot about resource sector because I'm planning an event right now in the resource sector. So I know a lot right now about iron ore mining. But they're able to come out and answer these questions. And augmented reality is just a storytelling tool to help surface those ideas. It really is about ideas, and our need to connect as humans is never going away. And so hybrid is really going to be really key. I mean, whether it's a smaller group events with a larger digital footprint on the back, hooked in into 70 different locations, we see that as the future. And I think that these two can coexist very beautifully together. That's the part we're super excited about.
Anything to add, Paul?
you know, I was just listening to Viv going on, what's the mining one we're talking about? Oh yeah, it's a good event. She's right in the middle of it, you know? Well, you know, the data story is great. I think also, you know, you had mentioned earlier about attention, right? And I think ultimately at the end of the day, what, you know, all of us are trying to do really is, you know, give people a quality exchange for their attention. And when you're at an event, you know, in person, all these factors come in, right? There's the human element of it. There's the sociability of it. There's the networking. It's just all the mojo and fun that goes with that. And, you know, we're missing that to a certain degree in the world of virtual because we're in these types of sessions, right? So they're all going to come back and intertwine and remesh and, you know, refabricate themselves to a new form of event, right? You'll see, you know, basically virtual and hybrid just all become one big blanket of event, right? It's just going to mean the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But the truth of it is you're not going to lose the need to basically exchange value for somebody's attention. And AR is phenomenal for that because to Vivian's point, if you can storytell, right? And there's this old adage that a story well told, that's the issue. And so if you can do that, people will surrender. They will open up into that experience and they will give you their attention. And then the story will unfold to the way it's supposed to. And, you know, I believe what you're seeing now are just the early glimpse of how that will unfold. I think once we're getting closer to eyewear, once we're getting more robust phones, so think 2021, 2022, you're going to see these multi-user style engagements where people will gather in AR. They will experience the same kind of, you know, level of interaction. And then that will become an additional medium with which people can gather in. And, you know, I don't want to turn this into a second lifey kind of experience. I don't think it'll be anywhere like, it'll not be anything like that. I think what you're going to see is this manifestation of people really wanting to come together into those experiences for value exchange. And, you know, whether that's, you know, just a good old fashioned networking session where you're shooting the bull with each other and talking and catching up and how's the family and blah, 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 or it's literally a medical certification on a new technique that literally just came out 2 weeks ago and I got to blanket this around the world. How do I do it? These types of things can happen now in AR. And I believe you're going to see more and more of that over the next 12 or 24 months. I can guarantee you that that level of experience will be what drive the overall adoption for lightweight wearables, because yeah, that has now changed the entire play for everybody, right? And it's just exciting. You can see it, you know, if you keep attuned to it, you'll see bits of it dropping and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then boom, it's there.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example that's like really amazing. We're actually working with an events agency right now and they're dreaming about how to use AR in terms of scavenger hunt. So they've got a very, you know, they do very luxurious C-level events and things like very exclusive. And they're thinking, how do we build these events while we're still able to socially distance safely, but create the wow factor? And so they're thinking of embedding, you know, a human hologram to kind of give you a clue around the next place. They can embed objects, places during this sort of scavenger hunt thing. And so, again, this is the part that's super you know, interesting to me because again, that storytelling often comes from understanding the audience and who understands the audience, the event strategists. And so we're getting a lot of these rich ideas in collaborating with event planners today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe one of my first experiences of thinking like, oh, I can see how this would be really fun at an event was when I started playing Pokemon Go with my nephews. And I thought it was such a ridiculous, I'm like, what are these kids doing all the time? And then before I knew it, I was just driving around my neighborhood trying to catch Pokemon.
I know, right? Yeah.
And they were not even with me. I was like, I have to admit, I might be addicted to this game. But just that interaction, the gamification component, you know, I like the scavenger hunt idea. Mm-hmm. I think in person, like I said, there were some great applications for AR even in the past several years. Now we get to see the more strategic and hybrid really being a really interesting component of bringing that all together. We are getting some great comments. I've been putting a few of them on the screen. And if you guys are watching and have questions, please put them in the comments of whatever channel you're watching. We'll be able to see them all here and address them. We only have maybe 10 minutes or so left, if that works for you guys. But one question for you that I know everyone wants to know is about budget and what this could look like from a budget standpoint. I think a lot of people hear about hologram, or they hear the word augmented reality, and it's like, okay, clearly that's not for my clients. That's going to end up being for some big fancy client. Is this accessible? And if so, you know, what are we looking at from a budget standpoint?
Sure, I'll tackle that sort of head on. First off, you know, the budgets vary. you know, sure. It could be a few grand to, you know, frankly, hundreds. I know it sounds crazy, but it can get significant depending on the, you know, activation or exploit, right? How you're using it. Hundreds would be for, you know, I'll say, you know, a tier one A-list star beaming from one part of the world to the other, tons of activations, huge sponsorship, blah, 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 right? Most people don't do that. The truth of it is, we have always, because we have a very formidable stack of technology and capability, right? The people, to Viv's point, we've got over 200 people, and they are amongst the best on the planet at creating events. We view everything through, we call it internally, it's value engineering, but we call it the pathway to profitability, starting with the end in mind. You know, basically, where do we need to get to from a pathway through to profitability? And once we understand that, we can literally reverse engineer back the cost structure to get you there. So it's not so much how much does it cost, it's more how much do you want to make? And all of that breaks itself down to the net outcomes. What are you looking to achieve? And as we all know, events are, you know, frankly, events is a waterfront of a lot of different types of events categorized under a very broad umbrella. And so if it's an issue of, hey, I've just got a few people, I need to broadcast them, I've got a skinny budget, then we basically sit with you and we work on that. If it's a consumer grade, hey, I've got, you know, what used to be 20,000 people, but now globally I want 100,000 and here's what I want, you know, that has a different type of budget.
Sure.
But in all of that, Liz, we've never seen the cost of our AR being prohibitive. We've never had a customer come back and go, I can't, it's just, it's too much. Because we never frame it in that context. We would not engage to do something unless we could sit back and say, okay, you spend X, you're going to get a return of Y. We just have to begin with that. Because to your earlier point, you don't want to do it for the sake of doing it. I mean, you can create a wow moment. And I'll tell you what really is the wow moment. First, there's the attendee who's wow, blown up out of their seat, walking around, having some fun, social images going everywhere, feedback, the mojo, everything's happening. That's nothing compared to how delighted the producer is or the sponsor or the vendor is when they see the data capture on the return. They're like, perfect, you know, and that's what they re-up on. So, you know, for us, it's a wow across a couple of different key areas. And so from a pricing point of view, I'm not trying to dodge that, hey, it costs $2,000 for this.
Right.
Boom, boom. But it generally is an completely affordable experience. And if I didn't think otherwise, we wouldn't be building what we're building today. Because remember, we're building this for the masses. This is not, you know, hey, I just want, you know, one or two of these clients. We want tens of thousands around the world using our platform. And we believe AR is by far the biggest differentiator. And, you know, frankly, we've stanced ourselves, you know, to accept that and to build and scale around it. Yeah.
And we've been able to help event organizers actually create profit. This is the part, this is the untold story. There's a medical association that we worked with this year that I had referenced. They made $200,000 more this year going virtual than they had in their physical event, namely because they were able to activate additional sponsorship and exhibitor and boothing opportunities, some of it with AR and some of it with some other offerings that we offer because we're highly customizable. And so we were able to build very customized sponsorship and advertising packages for them so that even though there was a 10% reduction in attendees, and a 50% reduction in vendors, they still netted $200,000 more. Now, here's the kicker that was the surprise. They doubled the number of decision makers attending their events. These folks often just didn't have time to travel, so they would send their folks on their team to attend. They had two times more of the buyers attend the virtual event than they had previous year in the physical. And so these are some of the interesting untold stories around how just because you go to virtual and you've got reductions in admission fees and ticketing in, you know, in other areas, you can still end out with the event not making more money. And we've seen it we've seen it with so many event producers that we've worked with. This is the part that's really is game changing.
Yeah, I know you guys will be putting out some good case studies about this, right? So that people can learn from these stories, I think would be great. One of my good event planner friends here in the New York area, Jacqueline Bernstein, she taught me that instead of asking for your client's budget, you ask them what their investment will be in the event that they're planning. And it's very much that same concept. It's just kind of changing the mindset from, you know, but I know that you guys have talked about very low, few thousand dollars as a potential starting experience. And again, like everything in the events industry, you can get a $500 venue or you can pay $5 million. It really just depends on your budget and your goals. So that makes sense. We do have a question coming in. Looks like Justin, he says, how do you guys plan on integrating AI into your Inferno AR platform? More specifically, how will this improve the user's experience? So this must be one of your fans. He knows all about your platform.
I was going to say, interesting. I think today we just announced the formal formation of our AI division. We've got some amazing people coming together for that. We've been using AI in a number of different ways. What I tend not to speak to is the kind of obvious matchmaking kind of stuff. I don't actually think that works very well. With so many people through platforms, just a good old fashioned human curating the way they normally would tends to be the best. I think maybe in time that data set will grow and the machine learning will get a little bit better. But frankly, I don't think there's, that to me is not really relevant. What I find phenomenal about AI is, and you don't have to, track this. You can track all this anonymously, I guess what I'm trying to say, is the large data sets that we collect from all the interactions that occur in one of our events. Remember, we probably have just right now, there's probably 5 events live around the planet. And this will go on every day. And somebody goes up and down, like it's just constant, right? Mm-hmm. And we are getting every day hundreds of thousands, if not millions of data points coming into our data store on the usage and application within that event. And so AI is phenomenal for banging on those data sets and creating appropriate pathways for journeys, understanding dwell points, understanding corollaries across multiple types of events. So you're able to look at the view as a superset. And that's where AI really comes in, because it allows you to dig in and see things that as humans we're not able to do. We just can't mentally process the capacity. And so having a bit of a knowledge engine there, a bit of a data store, and allowing us to use AI to pull those nuggets out. Frankly, if folks look at, and they have, our ARC 2021 interface, the UX, much of the pathway that was designed in that user experience. And I also saw a comment from a special need point of view. Believe it or not, our AIs are telling us that these are the optimal interfaces that work best within those communities. And we're able to then best address that when we sit with clients, we design those customer journeys. And that's where I see the battleground in AI for the next 12, 24 months. Without a doubt, as we move AR onto wearables, AI will play a very significant role in computer visioning and understanding spatially where to place things. It's happening right now. Just the degree there will be much higher. Most of it is commercial grade in the cloud, actively available. I don't foresee it as being a problem. I just see it being an accelerator. But that's where I see the battleground for AI. And it's very exciting. I mean, it's an industry, it's an area, frankly, it's going to grow probably equally as fast as AR, because they all are sort of intertwined with each other, right? Remember those formative texts we were talking about? It's one of those planks, if you would. Yeah.
This is, it's been so fun to indulge my techy side. I love to talk about these kinds of things and share them with, we have so many viewers right now, so that's very exciting. We have to make good on this promise that you guys made to give away a hologram to someone in our audience who participated
in Microsoft
Global. So I will hand it to you for that before we wrap up.
Okay, so I'm going to announce Sharon Boner from Bright Ideas Events as the winner.
Wonderful.
So congratulations. Yeah, thank you. And I'm hoping it's Bonner, maybe, from Bright Ideas. But, we'll absolutely be in touch. And, thank you for that. And looking forward to seeing your hologram.
Congratulations, Sharon. Thank you guys for doing that. That's very exciting. Really enjoyed talking to both of you. Thank you for taking a good chunk of your day. 45 minutes these days is like 3 meetings in my world. But I really appreciate talking about what you guys are doing for the events industry, and then, you know, broadly about AR and AI and VR and all these very cool concepts. Yeah. I'm so excited about what this is going to mean for the events industry in 2021. Very excited for what you guys are doing. And if there's any way we can help you, please let us know. If you guys have any questions for Next Tech AR, please reach out to them. They'll see all of the information on whatever feed you're watching, whether you're watching us on one of the Facebook feeds or YouTube. You know, feel free to reach out directly. Very excited to have you guys connect with them. We will, if you're listening to this on audio only, there will be an audio only version of this, and it will also be available on our blog. So join us for the next Event Hustler show. Until then, hustle hard. And thank you, Paul and Vivian, again for joining us today.
Thank you, Liz. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.